Daniel, paint your pictures about what we're gonna eat. By now I should know better. Cereal's always a treat. But tell me all about the milk and crunch berry filled seed. Daniel, you could always sell cereal to me. Hello and welcome to the Empty Bowl. Thank you. Meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am your cereal estate agent. And for the next 30 minutes or so, I will be walking you through this this cozy spooner-upper of a house that cereal built. There's a charming breakfast nook that I'm sure you'll love.
Do not be concerned if the house gets soggy every time it rains. That is a feature, not a bug. Dan, this is a meditative podcast about cereal, as we've covered, which means that for the next half hour, we are going to focus just on cereal, which gives you permission, dear listener, in a tumultuous world, to take a break and just think about cereal. That's it. We're going to have some ocean sounds, some relaxing music, and you can just think about cereal. No big deal. So we're going to have news and some reviews, and then who knows what else? Who knows? First up, though, the news. And LeBron is back after his ill-fated brush with cereal stardom in the form of the Space Jam cereal. LeBron is back in the business.
Yeah, and he's interacting with another Warner Brothers product here. It is Nike and LeBron's Magic Fruity Pebbles. And, you know, a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the Cinemoji Toast Crunch, and I was talking about how, like, it made me feel old and, like, my brain is slow because I couldn't comprehend just the levels of promotional abstraction and, like, tie-ins that went into the product. But I think this one might be even more perplexing. Because you look at this box of Magic Fruity Pebbles and you got Fred and Barney totally dripped out in like Nike swag. And the tie-in for this cereal is that apparently LeBron James has been a fan of Fruity Pebbles cereal since childhood. I don't know if there's any way to actually prove that, but he is teaming up with Nike to release a pair of LeBron James 19 Low Magic Fruity Pebbles sneakers that, I mean, they look pretty cool. It's mostly a white sneaker, but they have this sort of all-over print on part of it that features the Magic Fruity Pebbles, which only come in red and yellow, so it's not your typical Fruity Pebbles palette. But what really throws me and what made me feel like my brain had turned to scrambled eggs was reading the explanation of what makes these shoes so cool. And it says, the real magic is the new 19 Lowe's photochromic DCS technology, where the shoe's airbag uses the power of the sun's UV light to transition a completely clear air unit to a purple colorway. And I guess that's sort of a microcosm of what the cereal itself actually does, because these Magic Fruity Pebbles turn your milk purple.
It's also hard. I try to look into these shoes, and I guess maybe the, and you don't talk about feeling old. This is what makes me feel old. I don't know how to buy, how you get shoes, like cool shoes. Like, how do people get them? You know, what do you do? How do you get shoes?
What's your coolest pair of shoes?
I mean, I have a pair of Ron Funches Pumas, some Clydes. Those are cool. But, like, I like these shoes. But, like, you can't just, like, buy shoes, I guess, anymore. You got to kind of, I don't know. There's, like, I can't even joke about it because, like, I actually don't know how you get cool shoes. I hear about people, like, lining up virtually for shoes, I think is part of it.
Well, simply all you have to do is purchase Magic Fruity Pebbles cereal and you will have a chance to win these shoes. So I think that's usually how people get their shoes, is they just win them from cereal boxes nowadays. I mean, how do you think I got all my shoes?
Those are some big boxes. Those would have to be like the double size, unless you have extremely tiny feet. I don't know. I've never checked.
Yeah, but This is an interesting one. I've tried Magic Fruity Pebbles in the past when they were just, you know, an unbranded thing and they turned milk blue. They just taste like normal Fruity Pebbles, so you can't really expect too much in the way of innovation there. But if nothing else, we got some great concept art of LeBron in the Fruity Pebbles Flintstone style, dunking over Fred Flintstone, slamming a box of Fruity Pebbles through a basketball hoop. And I don't know what it is about the Flintstones design canon that makes everyone have to wear ties, but he does indeed have a tie on.
Yeah, I think it's to make him look more professional. It's so important. Applejack's Easter bunnies, you say? Tell me more.
Yeah, so this one's not terribly complicated. It's just the latest from Frankford, the candy company, who in the past has made all manner of cereal-infused Easter candies, even bunnies. There's been Fruit Loops bunnies. There's been... man, it's great that I can only name one after I say that.
Now there's the eggs were Frankfurt, right? Like the small Fruity Pebbles eggs?
Yeah, and we'll actually be talking about those in a second. And they had a Fruity Pebbles bunny as well, so...
Okay.
I like that Frankfurt is like this mercenary confectionery that like does not have a brand contract with any one cereal brand, and they're willing to just... They have this rabbit mold, and if you pay them to pump your cereal goo into it,
they will
do it. Though it's very strange that there hasn't been a Trix one yet, you know?
Yeah, and nobody wants to eat this poor Trix rabbit. He's been through enough. It's also they have this like stand-in for milk. It's sort of like a milk replacement. It's hard to put your finger on. It's very sweet though. That is my if you eat one of these, like that is the overwhelming. I think that comes through even more than like the cereal flavor itself, at least in my experience.
Yeah, we've talked about this white mystery sauce before, and
yeah.
I think it defies all scientific explanation.
Sounds good. I don't know. I like Applejack. It's nice to see Applejacks get their due.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Golden Grahams of Kellogg's brands, you know?
It's true. They've got a really good flavor. I actually really like the big ones. My kids love those. The
Jumbo Snacks?
Yeah, Jumbo Snacks. They're good. Whew, another tie-in here. With Betty Crocker, they did the epic Fruity Pebbles, right?
Well, Betty Crocker is a General Mills brand, so...
Oh, so
that
it's
might
all...
have been Duncan Hines that did the Fruity Pebbles.
Yes, that sounds right now that you say that.
But Betty Crocker did release, like, more Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Lucky Charms products than I can name. They did the coffee cake that I tried, the Lucky Charms pancake kit that I tried... And now they're bringing Lucky Charms into a cupcake kit. And, you know, if I thought the Applejack's bunny wasn't terribly exciting, this is like the most, words escape me. It's like Lucky Charms on top of a cupcake with green frosting.
This cupcake kit has been available to you for as long as cupcakes and Lucky Charms have existed.
Yeah, because, I mean, when I got the Lucky Charms... pancake kit, it was literally just a pancake kit with a pouch of Lucky Charms inside of it. So, and this is basically the same deal. You get frosting, cereal topping, cupcake mix, and cupcake liners as well. So, I mean,
the epic Fruity Pebbles had like you put the Fruity Pebbles in the dough itself. And there's a Fruity Pebbles flavored frosting, like they leaned into it a bit more.
Yeah, Fruity Pebbles is at least a lot easier to infuse that deep flavor into, whereas we've talked before about how Lucky Charms, the OD nuance, is very difficult to convey. And quite frankly, I doubt they're even going to try.
Yeah, although, you know what? I thought the milkshake that Burger King had for a while did a surprisingly good job.
Oh, yeah,
of conveying
and the ice
OD
cream
flavor
was amazing, too.
Ooh, I could go for one of those. Now that we've made ourselves appropriately hungry, let's move on to the world of reviews. Magic Spoon, sort of, which marketed itself as more of a healthy alternative, has a new flavor or two.
Yeah, so we talked about these last episode, how the Magic Spoon oatmeal cookie and honey graham flavors really speak to sort of the core flavor pillars of what we like to hype up on this show. So I had to try them.
And I've got my finger hovering over, I want you to know, and you, dear listener, and Dan, I have my finger, like, hovering over the button to add these to the cart. I just need to hear your review.
Okay, there's a lot to get into here. First of all, it is a little bit difficult that they, at least right now, force you to buy a 4-pack that includes both flavors, because I will say I enjoyed one more than the other. But before I get into that, I think what really threw me about these is that despite being oatmeal cookie and honey graham flavored, the ingredients lists of either, there's no mention of oats or honey or graham. I don't know if those are things that are lumped in with the natural flavors, the very ambiguous natural flavors, but it just threw my palate before I even took a bite, trying to wonder how they would replicate this without any of the key constituent ingredients, because, you know, the cereal bills itself as, you know, 0 grams total sugar, 4 grams net carbs, 14 grams protein, whatever. And I wouldn't think that things like oats and honey would affect that too much, but I don't know enough about what counts as grams of this or that.
No.
Flavor wise, the honey graham was the one that was a little bit of a miss for me. I think I'm having trouble discerning anything that's distinctly honeyed or grahamed in this. It's kind of got like a burned caramelization to it that was kind of hard to articulate in terms of adjectives and nouns, except that, like, it's not quite doing it for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost because I haven't tried a Magic Spoon cereal in a long time, and my taste buds have gotten so used to quote-unquote normal cereals that I think I'm more in tune to the natural sweeteners that are used here. I was a big diet soda fiend back in my college days, and that kind of turned me off of, like, non-sugar sweeteners for a bit. Hmm. And What gets me about the Magic Spoon cereals, I think, is that, like, the flavor tends to build on your palate as you eat it. Mm. Like, it sort of develops a filminess in the back of your mouth that has a little bit of a bitterness to it that can be combated by, you know, maybe sipping some milk between each bite or taking a sip of water. But as a ravenous cereal reviewer like me, I can't resist just eating handful after handful or spoonful after spoonful and having that flavor build up, especially in the case of the honey graham, wasn't entirely pleasant. Especially if you go in expecting golden grahams, you might be a little bit disappointed. There's some strange flavor alchemy going on here that I can't say that I fully understand. But I will say the oatmeal cookie is a fair deal better. It reminds me of like a super sweet biscuit, like a golden Oreo cookie or like the sandwiching cookie part of an E.L. Fudge. And, you know, oatmeal also, like we were just talking with Lucky Charms, is kind of a difficult subtleness to convey, yeah, especially if you're not using real
the
oats.
Texture.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you lose the texture.
So it's more, I would agree that the cookie element is there. Maybe not the oatmeal, but in terms of Magic Spoon varieties, I'd say Honey Graham is pretty low in my experience, but oatmeal cookie is up there with the cinnamons and the chocolates as some of their better hits.
Huge.
Do you think you're going to push that buy button now?
Yeah, probably, but if I don't like it, I'll just give it to my kids. So it works out perfectly for everybody. Everybody wins.
Well, I do have 2 extra boxes now. I could send them to you.
Well, you got to go to the post office and everything. ooh, this sounds good. Boston cream pie pop tarts. Fun to say too.
Yeah. So Boston cream pie. Wait, is it Boston? It's Boston cream donut pop tarts. Sorry, I must have got it confused in my head.
Which, like, let's be honest, Boston cream donuts are based on Boston cream pie, so that is the long way around that they're taking.
As long as you've got the Boston flavor and the cream flavor there,
it's not baked beans, you're good.
But yeah, I reviewed the Eggo waffle and the apple fritter Pop-Tarts last time, and this was sort of the third new Pop-Tart that has been released, and it took me a little bit longer to find it.
It's so hard, Dan. I feel like I'm always seeing new flavors like that you're talking about. And I feel like every grocery store I go to has strawberry and brown sugar, cinnamon, and you know, get lost.
It's tough, yeah, because I found the other two at Walmart and then only this one at Target. So it's kind of like a Funko Pop type situation where if you want to collect them all, you're going to have to take a hike. And I only sought this one out because people were telling me that it was the best of the bunch. And, you know, I'm going to have to agree. Probably mostly because I'm a big chocolate Pop-Tart fan at heart. Mm-hmm. And this is the first new chocolate-based Pop-Tart to come out since 2020's chocolatey churro Pop-Tarts, which were also amazing. And I'm glad I hunted this one down. I will say that the chocolate is far from the star. It's definitely the creamy, custardy filling that really does have a nice custardiness to it, if that's the right way to say
it. As they say.
The overall effect reminds me a bit of the chocolate chip cookie dough Pop-Tarts, which is one of my all-time favorites, albeit with a stronger, like, vanilla butteriness to the filling. And I think toasting them shifts the balance away from that filling more than I would like to make it more about the actual crust, which isn't mm-hmm. bad, but I had my most satisfying moment with these Boston cream donut Pop-Tarts when I popped them in the freezer, as I am so wont to do. Sure. And it ended up reminding me of, do you know, like, those ice cream cookie type bars where it was like WWE or Rugrats printed on them that you could get from an ice cream truck?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there was a Millennium Falcon one that was a big hit at our house for a while.
Yeah, very fond memories. So Pop-Tart fans, chocolate Pop-Tart fans, custard Pop-Tart fans, this is one worth watching out for. And before we move on, the mention of Pop-Tarts made me remember the news headline that I saw today that Jerry Seinfeld will be starring in a Origin of Pop-Tarts documentary for Netflix called Unfrosted.
God, that sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
What a delight.
I honestly didn't know much about the origins of Pop-Tarts before hearing this news, and I was wondering what you could actually make a whole movie about, but apparently the idea for Pop-Tarts was more or less stolen from Post, who, you know, pioneered this idea of, like, foil wrapping fruit filling to keep it fresh. And they were going to launch this Country Squares line of toaster pastries, but their lab techs spent so much time fiddling with the recipe that it was slow to get onto shelves and slow to get promoted. And in that time, Kellogg's, who originally were calling their pastries fruit scones, took the language of the pop art movement to get this catchy name for Pop-Tarts, and they just exploded in popularity to the point where, you know, they sold out and had to apologize to people and make more. So
wow.
I guess there is quite the tale to be told there.
I mean, I'll absolutely watch that as hard as possible. Now, this is funny, Dan. Our last review here is Fruity Pebbles Eggs, which I mentioned earlier, but I did not mean eggs. I meant the balls, which are basically like the eggs. You know what I mean? The tiny Frankfurt ball, Fruity Pebble balls.
I think that's what I am talking about, right?
Is it?
I mean, they're definitely more ball-shaped than eggs. I actually haven't ingested them yet. I have them before me ready for...
Oh, is it a live review? Taste test. I love that.
So they are balls. They are the shape of large marbles. Perhaps you can hear me rolling it across my desk here.
Yes.
Let me mute my mic real quick so I don't... Well, I can get the unwrapping noises, but you don't need to hear the eating noises.
No, hard bite. Now, are these labeled Fruity Pebbles Bites?
I think they are Fruity Pebbles Bites. I don't know where I got eggs from.
Listen, Dan, all I want is to hear you eat these treats and let us know what you think.
All right. Well, I will say that they look sort of like Tutti Frutti jelly beans or perhaps tiny jawbreakers. But, well, going in. Let me just cleanse my palate here with a La Croix.
Sure, just a quick... What flavor? That's hugely important.
This is lemon LaCroix. It's not quite limoncello, which is my favorite, but I felt it might complement the eggs nicely, the bites. Well, I will say they taste like Fruity Pebbles for sure. I mean,
a feat of a low bar, I'll say, that has been cleared by everything from cake mix to, I don't know, milkshakes and vapes,
vape juice. It's exactly the same as that, you know, the white sauce conundrum we were just talking about, where it's not really well suited to a live taste test because it's just white creamy sweetness with, I would say, like 15 to 20% of that tropical blast of Fruity Pebbles sort of embedded in there. And I think my main criticism is that these do not need to be individually wrapped in any sense. They're, unless you are a small child, I doubt you're going to be eating these in more than one bite. And I would really love to just, like, stuff 12 of these in my mouth at once and rattle them around like my mouth actually is full of marbles. But, you know, that would require a lot of work to unwrap. So, for me at least, I like the flavor. It reminds me of the fruity cereal Kit Kats that we both enjoyed as well.
Mm, those are good.
I just think that you might be better suited buying the Fruity Pebbles candy bar or the Fruity Pebbles bunny, just because it's going to be the exact same flavor, but you'll be able to just devour it a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, you know, my biggest problem with those, and it's kind of silly, but the size versus wrapping is like not worth the time to that takes to get the foil off. Like, you really, and sometimes they'll tear and you gotta like dig in there to get all the foil out. A different mechanism I think would have been nice.
That's my thing with like Hershey Kisses too, because first of all, the tip's gonna break off, and like then you have two separate pieces, a foil and a paper little string. So always been a little bit peeved by that.
We asked people if they had ever won something from cereal, and we may not have a particularly lucky audience because we only got one response, but I'd love to listen to it if that's okay by you.
Please.
It's from Benjamin.
Hi, Dan and Justin. Benjamin here from New York. My greatest cereal prize was from a box of Cinnamon Puffins, a Barbara Weetabix brand oat and corn cereal that holds a molasses-y flavored nostalgia for me. Back in 2009, we noticed that the box had a sweepstakes for a free tie-in Nintendo DS game, Puffin's Island Adventure. We sent it off more or less for fun, without expectation, but the giddy feeling of the game arriving in the mail soon after genuinely still makes me happy today. And for being a cereal franchised game, it was pretty good. A sort of simplified Puffin version of Animal Crossing, with a bunch of mini-games that would show cereal boxes or puffin facts after winning, surprisingly authentic Acadian and maritime folk music, and a good autumny feeling that still has me turning it on for a few rounds every Halloween. Thanks for all you do, and best cereal wishes.
Well, that sounds lovely. Puffin's cereal's so good.
Very underrated, for sure. You know, underrated. This isn't something that I won, but with Puffin cereal, you could, like, submit box tops to do an honorary adoption of a puffin. And I did that, like, multiple times over my formative puffin-eating years.
So if you're ever wondering if you see Dan being followed by a small army of puffins, that's what's
the dream. Happening. Have you ever won anything from cereal before?
Gosh, no. I mean, I've gotten, like, the prizes inside, you know, like, but in terms of actually winning, I never really did sweepstakes as a kid. You know what I did used to do a lot? It was a big thing in the early days of internet to, like, register for free samples. So, like, I would do that sometimes with cereal, like, register for a free sample, and you'd just, like, show up, and there'd be, you know, a little packet of whatever, Jelly Bellies. Or Jelly Belly used to do free samples every day, but you have to log in at just the right time. And anyway, we had a fun question that was sent via Twitter. If you want to get in touch with us, it's, what's our Twitter handle, Dan?
It is at Empty Bowl Show, or you can also send us an email at mail@bowl.rest.
Hi, Dan and Justin. As an international listener, Australia, The American cereal pantheon sounds large and varied compared to local offerings. If you were to recommend a handful of cereals, which do you think would capture the essence of the American cereal experience? Thanks for the great show, Blair.
So let's say that we can pick four, like a starter pack. I don't know if you want to choose individually or we can collab here, but this is a weighty undertaking.
I think, let's just go through, let's pick a, like, five cereal pantheon of, like, quintessentially American cereals.
Because it's tough, because I don't want to just pick my favorite cereals, because I don't think they're fully representative of the American cereal experience, necessarily.
Okay.
But if I gotta pick one that is non-negotiable, I'm gonna say Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries. That, like, unique flavor, that mix of the chest pieces and the crunch berries is absolutely unparalleled and just is, like, you know, cartoonish, tropical explosion, fake fruitiness defined for me.
I would submit Fruity Pebbles with Marshmallows.
Really?
Because I feel like it is... Personally, I just think it's the sweetest cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think they're... Like, when you're getting right down to it, it's just aggressively... in a way that, like, would confuse other countries. like, wow, why did they do this? It's so sweet. That would be mine. It is, when I think of sweet cereal, that is the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, American teeth are built to withstand that kind of sweetness, but...
That's right.
Yeah, so we got two sort of fruity ones. I don't really want to add another fruity one, so maybe it's an honorable mention, but I feel like Trix also is, like, from a visual aesthetic of the pieces standpoint, one of the most iconic. But I think if we're going to diversify beyond just fruity cereals, I would add, man, this is tough, but
these aren't necessarily, the way I'm thinking about this is not necessarily like best, but it's more like what would be the most in contrast to other countries' offerings, which, to be honest, I'm not that well versed in, so I'm kind of guessing, but
it's true.
Like, to me, I feel like Cinnamon Toast Crunch is an essential cereal, like, but it, you know, I feel like other countries probably have Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I mean, could we do Cinnagram Toast Crunch as our submission? Because that's, like, the defining pinnacle of a century of cereal innovation. And
yeah, folks, I'm seeing that one in stores now. You need to go get yourself a box if you see it. It who knows? With cereals these days, it could upinvent it. Quality of a cereal is no indicator for its longevity.
Very true.
Like, enjoy your cereals while they last.
If this were a perfect world, that would become Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But yeah, I think if we add that to our list here, then we've got cinnamon, graham, and honey cereals all covered in one. From there, I might suggest Reese's Puffs, because just like candy as a cereal in the most literal sense.
Reese's Puffs in, like, bat shapes.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be something totally tenuous and obscure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
Everybody has healthy cereals, so I didn't necessarily...
Yeah. Maybe Waffle Crisp? Rounded out?
See, I was thinking Blueberry Muffin Toasters, but, like, something... Mm. Like, one of those in, like, the bake good... genre, I think, would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, Waffle Crisp, French Toast Crunch, Blueberry Muffin Toasters, French Toasters. I think an oddball like that would be a good way to round out. So
perfect. Well, there you go. If you ever make it your way stateside, those are some of the cereals that you can pick up. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you being here, and we hope you have been able to relax or focus or whatever you were aiming to do here. We hope you've achieved it.
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our podcast branding, as well as Samuel Rardin for the empty bowl enamel pin that you can find in the McElroy merch shop.
That's going to do it for us for this week. So until next time, for Dan Gubier, I'm Justin McElroy, and as we say on every episode, don't forget to drink. Don't forget to drink them. Don't forget to drink the milk.
You've been letting me do it every time. I wanted you to...
I was so scared without you. I was so scared.
I'm always there. I'm guiding you, even when you don't see me or hear me.
Are you saying the magic was in me the whole time?
The magic spoon was in you.